Greetings and grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this Name of Jesus Sunday, New Year's Day, it's taken from the Epistle to the Hebrews, the second chapter. And we will read from verse 5 through 18 in that chapter. That's Hebrews 2, 5 through 18, where we read in the name of our Lord. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put in all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, this is your work. This is what you chose. And Father, what you chose was us. And Father, each and every one of us has that marvelous claim that we are your children through the finished work of your Son. And we pray, Father, even now that you would embolden us with such faith, strengthen us. And Father, give us that message of hope. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And this really is the message of the name of Jesus. It's actually summed up in a very simple Hebrew word, Yehoshua, which is actually his name, or Yoshua as it's shortened. And then once it becomes Greekized, it becomes Jesus. It just means Savior. That's it. Savior. He saved us. Not because of anything that we did, or not because of anything that we will do. He saved us simply because he loves us. And he wanted us to be with him for eternity. It's hard to imagine that, isn't it? Because as human beings, that depth of love and commitment is very, very difficult to really fully comprehend. But that's God. Our God is summed up in the name of his Son, Savior. He's Savior. And it's in the light of this that we begin a new year. And we recognize we really don't. You know, we just kind of do that because of what our planet does. You know, it goes around the sun and all those sort of things like that. And every day it rotates on its axis. And we say that's so many days and so many hours. And it's really not, because it's not perfectly those amounts at all. We have to adjust it periodically and things like that, because none of that is exact. None of that is perfect. As a matter of fact, it's quite imperfect. But God is perfect. And his promise is perfect. The finished work of his Son is perfect. And it's in the finished work of Jesus, that wonderful name, that we really come to fully appreciate what it means to live a new year, what it really means to live, what it means to exist. Because as he says here, and the author of the Hebrews puts this so wondrously, it's not angels that he's talking about. And I grew up around the Amish, and I grew up around all these craft people and all these things, and they make all these angels and all these sort of things like that, and you got angels all over the place, and it's kind of like that, you know, and people are looking at angels. Let me tell you, angels don't do diddly squat. Angels are just messengers of God. And that's all that they are. They're messengers of God. They're appointed in their own existence solely for the purpose of service. And what they serve is us. They're ministering spirits, that's all. What they are sent to minister to is God's very offspring. And this is why Hebrews says that this is what God did. It's not, the world to come is not in subjection to angels. It's not angels that have power over this. He says very clearly, what is the human being that you are mindful of that human being? What is the human being? Why is the human being so important in reality? What is the child of humanity? Why is that so significant that you watch over it? Basically, and I'm going to do this from Greek, it says, you made it for a brief time lower than the angels, and yet with splendor and honor you crowned it. He says, you made it briefly to be lower than angels, but you have crowned it with splendor. He says, you made all things subject under its feet. For in regard to the subjection to it, there's nothing left out. There's nothing that isn't subject to it. But right now, we don't see it that way. But what he says is, but the one who for a brief time was made lower than the angels, we see Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus, that wonderful name, is the restoration of the human race. He's the restoration of dignity to humanity. He is the restoration and the sanctity of humanity. He is what sanctifies life. He is what gives it its dignity. He is what tells us that are they worth it? Are people worth it? Yes, because Jesus is incarnate and his sacrifice is in place. And he has provided our salvation, which tells us the great value that God holds us in. That we were worth him becoming flesh. That we were worth the sacrifice. And he says what is so amazing about this, that he says, who because he suffered death, suffering death for us, was crowned with splendor and honor, so that by God's grace, he, on behalf of every human being, would experience death. That he would take our death upon himself. It says, "For it was proper for him, on account of whom all things are, and through whom all things are, because he brought many children into splendor, to make complete the originator of their salvation through sufferings." He brought on him the suffering of us all. And he says, "For both the one who consecrates and the consecrated are all from one." It's talking about us. We have been brought into union with God through Jesus the Christ. In our humanity, through his humanity, we have been joined to God eternally. And he says, on account of that reason, he's not ashamed to call us brothers. He isn't ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed to call us siblings. He's not ashamed to know us as his own. Because he so loves us. He says, "I will announce your name to my brothers among the congregation. I will hymn you. Again, I myself will depend upon him. And again, look, I myself and the children that God gave me. Therefore, because the children have flesh and blood in common, also he himself in the same way became a partner with them in the same things, so that through death he would wipe out the one who had the might of death, that is the devil, and set them free." You're free. We're free. We're free. You still look like church people. Got this look. You're free. You're free. You're free of sin. You're free of death. You are free of the curse of the devil. You are free to live. You have the peace of God. And you are immortal. Happy New Year. See, this is the way that this works. This is the gift of God. It doesn't stop with the calendar year. It doesn't stop with the rotation of the sun. It doesn't stop with any of these things. It is a continuous reality that he would save us. He says he set us free. Those who by the fear of death and through all their life were held in slavery, he says he set us free. He says, "For of course it wasn't angels he took interest in to aid, but the offspring of Abraham he took an interest in to aid. Hence he was obliged in all things to be like his brothers, so that he would be a merciful and faithful high priest to the things relating to God, to provide a conciliatory offering for the people's sins." In other words, that now we would know where to go. I've told you this story before. A lot of you have heard it before. I'm going to be 67 this month. I can tell stories all I want. I remember my dad. My dad told me very clearly. He said, "Jay," he says, "I know what you're like." Says, "Because you're my son. Because I know what you're like." He says, "You're going to get in trouble." Says, "Because I got in trouble." Says, "You're going to get in trouble. When you get in trouble," he said, "don't run away from me. Don't try to hide it from me. You tell me. You tell me. You tell me." That's the way God is. We come to God with our trouble. We don't run the other way. We don't run in fear. We run to God. We run to him. And we tell him very clearly, "I got trouble. I got trouble. I'm in trouble." And it is God who is our ally. It is God who is our helper. And this is exactly what Hebrews is saying. He was obliged to be like us. He was obliged to become us. He says, so that he would be merciful and faithful. Because he's merciful. We don't have to run from him. We run to him. We run to him. And today, he's going to invite us to the sacrament because we come to him. We come to him to feed us with his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins. We come to him. We come to him. And he knows all of it. We're not hiding anything from him. We come knowing that he knows. And he freely receives us because he is a merciful high priest. He is good. And he provides the conciliatory offering, which is his body and his blood, that atones for our sin. And simply says, yeah, you come. You come to me. You come to me. And finally he says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is powerful enough to help those who are being tempted. You see, in so many ways we've got God all wrong. That God is somehow sitting up there in the ether someplace, floating around like some sort of specialized bean counter, looking and counting at all of our sins and things like that. Instead of realizing, no. God already knew all of our sins. And God took them away in the blood of the Lamb in order to give us peace. Thank you, boys, for reading. I almost broke out in tears listening to you. I'm almost about to again because of the words that you read. Out of the mouths of children and nursing infants, God has ordained his praise. He has appointed his praise. Every one of us needs to become like them. Recognize that God just freely receives us by his grace. That he so loves us. That he sent his son into the world. And he named him Savior. Savior. Because that's what he did. He saved us. And he is also Immanuel, God with us. God dwelling with us. You see, when you hear those words read, those aren't just the words of the people that read them. Those are the words of your God. God, in his grace, makes his word to be heard in the voice of the readers of it. It's God's voice. And when it's heard, it quickens us by the Spirit of God, and it strengthens us, and it enables us to realize the depth of his love, the depth of his grace, the power of his forgiveness. So that every day is New Year, because he makes all things new. In the mercies of the Lord, the one nice verse in Lamentations, the mercies of the Lord are new every day. They're new every day because of Jesus. that's just really good. It's really, really good. And that's the way we should start the new year. We don't get to do this very often, you know, do communion on New Year's Day. That's the way we should start it. And we should keep it in our heart every day to understand we have been received through Jesus. We are the offspring of God. And out of our very mouths, he has appointed his praise to the glory of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, there is no name like unto Jesus. And by that name, we indeed are saved. And so we look to you, Father, even at this moment as we come to the supper, knowing full well that through his finished work, we approach you as those who have been washed and cleansed. We come before you as sinners saved by grace, and we receive the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord in his body and his blood. We thank you, Father, for so great a gift. And we pray, Father, that again, through your word, you would renew us and strengthen us. Always remind us, Father, when we would lose sight of our hope, that, Father, that you would keep us and sustain us through the finished work of Jesus the Christ and by the power of that name. So that, Father, all the days of our life, walking on this earth, and as the time comes when we enter into eternity, that, Father, we would realize that our salvation is in that name, and we would glorify you forever in his name, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, in whose holy name we do pray. Amen.